Christ the King, King of the universe, King of all time, King of both visible and invisible created realities. And Christ also the King of our hearts. Today is a great solemnity. It's the last Sunday in ordinary time in which we consecrate the end of the church's year to Christ the King. And it's a day in which we come to ponder what does Christ as King mean for us. And it means that he was King of everything, but also wants to be enthroned in our hearts. That everything that we do is for the one King over us, Christ the King, the only benevolent, truly perfect benevolent King, the only perfect ruler over our hearts and our minds and our souls. And in the Gospel today, we see what kind of a King Christ is, a good King, a King that offers himself for the salvation of the world, a King that offers himself, his whole body, for the salvation of the whole human race. And so by doing so, Christ serves as an example for all of us on how we can be kings and rulers and exercise authority in our own time. Whether it's authority within the family or within our specific occupations or civil authority. There's a window over there I mentioned last year of there's the Parliament building on the one of Christ the King. It's the one, I think, just past the balcony, the choir loft. And so you see that it reminds us that all authority, all earthly authority derives its authority from Christ's authority, from God's authority. So that all authority is to rule with under the divine inspiration. And it's only with if they do things in accord with God that they receive their legitimacy. Go beyond God or go against God's rule, then they will lose their legitimacy. And so we are reminded of what it means to be a true practicer of authority in our times. But how does this look exactly? How can we compare it to something? As many of you know, I've been asked to talk more about my pilgrimage I did, so I'm trying to figure out how to include it. But one great example came to mind as I was pondering this, is that when I was in Vienna in Austria, the capital of Austria, our group went to visit Schönbrunn Palace. It's the imperial palace of the Austrian emperors, the Kaisers, later become the Austro-Hungarian Empire through an intermarriage with the Hungarian royalty. And as we went there, we had to buy tickets. You had to wait in line, and you had to follow these sorts of rules. And the tickets, well, they weren't really expensive, but you know, you had to pay a few bucks for that. If you're ever in Vienna, it's good to go see it at least once. Say you've seen it. And it's imperial. It's like the Austrian version of Buckingham Palace. It's a massive building. As soon as you walk up to it, you realize this is a palace for earthly authority. This is to celebrate that they are earthly rulers, and they want to not just show it, but to flaunt it to all the people. As you go into different rooms, you see meeting rooms that are just covered with gold chandeliers, crystal chandeliers throughout the whole building, expensive artwork. There were expensive furniture. There were rooms covered with gold just for show. They didn't even use these rooms. Then you go, you see more and more examples of just pure opulence in this room. This is one thing that they would do in those days is that the royal family would invite people to come to their banquets. But the thing is, if you were invited, it didn't mean you were eating. It meant that you could, the royal family would sit in the center of the room, the dining room, and you would sit around the sides. And it was considered an honor for you to be there just to watch the family eat. You didn't eat yourself, you just watched them eat. So it was, you can tell how much they were, and these were for like wedding feasts, and they were going for days and days and days of just doing this, just celebrating themselves, just celebrating the fact that they are the rulers of this land. In a way, it may have been partly necessary to cement their authority, because otherwise people could challenge that authority. But after a while, it came very clear that this was just becoming just pure opulence, just pure showing off their authority and their riches. And then you would compare this with the churches you would go into. We visited many churches, especially in Vienna. There was the St. Stephen's Cathedral, St. Peter's Church. Beautiful churches, very well decorated. But yet, you could go in there for free. Like, all the poor people went in there, could go in there and out without paying a single cent. You could give a donation if you wanted to, but otherwise, it was free for them. The churches were for the poor. Was this big house, the palace was for the rich. The money was taken from the poor for the rich was churches. The poor contributed, and they had something for them. They had something for themselves. They had their home, and it was for them. The churches were for the poor, and the big palaces for the rich. And in the churches, everyone was welcome. You didn't pay anything, but in mass, everyone was equal. Didn't matter if you were the highest emperor or the lowest pauper, you were equal. And that was very telling. Even in Schönbrunn Palace, they were a Catholic family, so they had their own chapel there. And the chapel is the only place in that building you could go in free of charge. And it was a beautiful, beautiful chapel. And I'm not trying to judge the family themselves, because there's one blessed in that family. There was the last emperor, Karl. He has been beatified. But their legacy goes on to show that there are two different ways of being a king. Of being a king, to be a very purely earthly king, just pure opulence, or it can be a more heavenly king, a more divine king, where all people are welcome, all people are encouraged to come forward to Christ. And so this serves as an example for us. What kind of king should we be? We can all be kings in our own life. We can be kings over ourselves, ruling over ourselves, or we exercise authority. If you're a teacher, or if you work in law enforcement, or even in government, what kind of king are we to be? Are we called to be kings to serve ourselves? Are we called to be kings who serve others? Are we called to be people that concern only our own selves, our own, whatever we're doing? Or should we instead take the example of Christ the King and think of others before ourselves? We should give ourselves wholly for other people in order so that Christ can truly be proclaimed. And so today we are called to not just celebrate Christ the King, we are called to inspect ourselves and say, what kind of person am I to be? Am I to be like a great monarch to flaunt myself and to impose my will upon others? Or am I called to be like Christ the King, a king who gives himself for other people so that other people can be raised up to God?